بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to listen to the 18 juz of the Holy Quran in Salatul Taraweeh tonight, in which two surahs were recited and then a third surah was commenced. The first surah is Surah Al-Mu'min and the second one An-Nur. Regarding Surah An-Nur, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted us to teach our women folk this surah. There are many ahkamat, laws, sharia mentioned in this surah which pertain to women folk, hijab, etc. Also about seeking permission when we enter the home, how we should make salam. So many aspects of deen has been mentioned, and particularly an incident which exonerated Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. An incident that all of us have heard many times previously, but it came in tonight's Taraweeh and in this particular surah, and I felt that we should mention this entire incident again and look at the underlying lesson that applies to all of us. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, it so happens the 17th of Ramadan has now commenced. And she passed away on the 17th of Ramadan as well. She passed away at the age of 66 years old. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, she was only 18 years old. So what a long period of time, plus minus 44 years, she lived as a widow. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in had been returning or were returning from an expedition, Banu Mustaliq, or Al-Muraysi', an expedition that took place in which Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha had also accompanied her beloved husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that particular journey. As they were returning to Medina, they camped at a certain place, and Sahaba rested for a little while, and whoever needed to relieve themselves, they would relieve themselves at that particular time. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala went out into the woods, into the forest, to relieve herself. In those times, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, then they were mounted on a camel, but in a box-like structure, which is known as Hawdaj in Arabic. A litter. So it's a little box structure, which is covered, this parda, there are veils. And Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, at that time, remember she got married to Rasulullah at a very tender age, she is only 14 years old. She is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is the beloved mother of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is part of Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And every believer loves Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Whoever reviles her, whoever curses her, whoever hates her is 1000% not a believer. We as the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we love Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. 14 years old, she is very, very thin. She mentions herself in the hadith where she was extremely thin. She had hardly been eating, young girl. So, when the Sahaba were departing, they did not realize that she was not in this Hawdaj, and they placed it on the camel's back, and Rasulullah and the Sahaba proceeded thinking that she was there. It is mentioned in the books of Seerah, the Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, actually when she had come back, but she realized her necklace was lost, so she went out to search for her necklace. And in that period, in that interim, Sahaba had proceeded thinking that she was there. So she did not panic. And she thought to herself that she's not going to go now deeper into the forest because then it will become difficult for the search party to find her. She went back to the same spot since she knew Rasulullah will realize later on she's not there and he'll come back for her. This was her intelligence. She did not panic. She was very brave. She was very tired and she falls off asleep. Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala was deputed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that particular expedition that you must come right in the end and if somebody has lost some belonging or forgotten something, then you must pick it up and bring it. As he comes close to this area, he sees a figure, he sees a woman and she is sleeping and he mentions himself. When he came closer, he realized that it was Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, because he had seen her prior to the laws of hijab coming down. Remember, she was a little girl. The moment he sees her, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha hears this, immediately the words of the hadith, فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِ, I covered my face. This is one proof of covering the face. This is part of our deen. Our women folk should now make a very concerted effort. It's the month of Ramadan, as we tell the men to keep a beard, those who have not got a beard. Now this is a chance, an opportunity. When the heart has become so receptive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are reciting Taraweeh, we are keeping Roza, before Quran, we are reciting Quran, we make dhikr, tasbih, we are listening to talks. And nobody has to look around and see who has not got a beard. No, that's not our, we should not be judgmental and brand any person, no. But we have this pain that it is the sunnah of Rasulullah. So let us make a firm resolution, intention that now I'm going to keep my beard. I'm going to ensure that my pants is above my ankles. My kurta is above my ankles. Like that, our women folk should ensure that now they start covering their faces. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu does not go near her. He does not talk to her. He pushes the camel forward, makes it go down, lean down. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha goes on top. Safwan bin Mu'attal goes in front and he escorts her towards Madina Munawwara. Remember, there were munafiqeen also present in the assembly of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were many munafiqeen in living in Madina and sometimes they would also travel with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ringleader of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. His son was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His son's name was also Abdullah. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the father, he left no stone unturned in harming, persecuting, troubling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was in Medina and he could not stomach the fact that Rasulullah comes into Medina and now he becomes the leader. So it so happens that as Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala is escorting Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and they entering Medina, he is among those people who see this. And immediately he starts the scandal, the rumor. And ma'ad Allah wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik, he accuses them of having an affair. He's accusing the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of ma'ad Allah having committed zina with Safwan bin Mu'attal, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the rumor is being circulated in Madina Munawwara. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, absolutely naive. She's so simple. She's so innocent. She does not know anything what's being circulated about her. The only difference she found, that Rasulullah, of course, he was a human being, the great Nabi of Allah. No wahi came down to Rasulullah. Now, this rumor has been circulated, like how in our times, without making any tahqiq whatsoever. Without checking the veracity of any statement, any fact. Unfortunately, most of us have fallen into the scourge. One WhatsApp message about any person or anything.
any matter of deen or whatever it is, without even verifying from the scholars, from the ulama, we just pass it on. And how often it has happened, we all are witness to the fact that then the message comes, sorry, ignore the message that had already come. Now imagine how many people this message has been circulated. And therefore I really say, the cell phone is a big bala in today's times. We are ready to accuse people. We are ready to become part and parcel of scandal mongering. This is not what Islam teaches. This is not what Islam advocates. This is not what Islam preaches. We should always be looking at our own faults. This is a lesson for you and I. So Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Karim visits her. He's worried. No, he came down explaining the innocence of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah ta'ala did not inform him anything as yet. So he could not make any statement. He knew his wife was innocent. But obviously, as a human being, he could not be like the same husband he was to her previously. He would come, make salam to her, and ask her, hey Fatik, how are you? How are you feeling? And it so happened that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had become a bit ill. She noticed Rasulullah is not as normal as he was. This bothered her. And she had become ill. So she sought permission from him. I would like to go to my parents' house. In the meantime, as she was going out to relieve herself, the toilets should be out, not in the homes, her khadima Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha was walking with her. She's an elderly woman. And as she's taking Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha out to relieve herself, this Barira khadima of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Sayyidina Aisha, Barira radiallahu ta'ala anha, she gets entangled in her own scarf and she trips. As she trips, she curses her own son. Ta'isa mistah. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is baffled. She says, what are you saying? He's a Badri sahabi. Why are you cursing him? The word ta'isa amongst the Arabs was a very serious word. She says, oh Aisha, don't you know this son of mine? What scandal, what rumor he's spreading about you? And then she tells Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala the entire incident. Can you imagine what happens? She's gripped with extreme shock, anxiety, fear. And she becomes even more sick. And then that's when she takes permission from Rasulullah. I want to go home. Nabi Karim says, no problem, go. And she goes to her father's house, none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And her mother's name was Ruman radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she goes and she tells her mother, oh my mother, have you heard what they are talking about me? Have you heard this rumor about me? The mother says, oh my beloved daughter, you're a young girl, you are so beautiful. And people like you will be envied, people will be jealous over you. Don't worry, as time will pass, everything will be sorted out. But she's not happy. She's not consoled. She looks at her father, he also does not say anything. And now she begins to cry. She mentions in the hadith herself, in the riwayat that comes, she said, I began to cry and cry and cry. In the meantime, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would come, just see to her, Assalamu Alaikum, how are you? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consults two Sahaba, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. These were household members. What do you think? What should we do? What do you think of Sayyidina Aisha? He consults them. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he's the beloved of Rasulullah ta'ala. He says, Ya Rasulullah, it is impossible that Sayyidina Aisha could have done anything like this. She's absolutely innocent. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, to console Rasulullah ta'ala, he says, Ya Rasulullah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made life difficult upon you. Of course, he did not mean evil towards Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. He says, but Allah has not made life miserable for you. If you want, you can marry some other woman. But why don't you go and find out from Barira radiallahu ta'ala if she knows anything? Because normally she is with her. Perhaps she knows some secret and she might know some more information. That perhaps Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala could be involved in something which we do not know. Go and check with her. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha never forgot the good words of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anha regarding her. Nabi Akrim calls Barira, "Oh Barira, tell me. Am I not the Nabi of Allah?" It's a serious matter. "Of course, Ya Rasulullah. I bear witness to this fact. Then whatever I'm going to ask you, don't hide anything from me. Don't conceal anything. Please tell me exactly what you know about Aisha. Any wrongs you know, whatever you know about her, please tell me. I need to know now." Hazrat Barira radiallahu anhu says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha is so innocent, so innocent. She's just a simple little girl. And the only wrong thing I can point out about her is sometimes she kneads the dough to make the bread, and the poor girl falls off asleep, and the goat comes and takes away that bread and goes away. The dough and goes away. That's all." Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam listens to Barira, then he goes to the Ansar, and Aus and Khazraj tribes. These are the two tribes of the Ansar. Prior to Islam, they were always at war with one another. Aus were always fighting with Khazraj, Khazraj always fighting with Aus. Islam came and cemented the two tribes, and they comprise of the Ansar. Nabi Karim asked Ansar, "Tell me, what do you think?" So, Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala stands up and he says, Sa'ad bin Mu'ad radiallahu ta'ala, or a member from the Aus tribe, stands up and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, whoever is spreading this scandal about Sayyidina Aisha, if he's from our tribe, the Aus tribe, we will behead him. And if he's from the Khazraj tribe, then too we won't even waste time, we will behead him." So somebody stands up from the Khazraj tribe. And he says, it seems as though you are hinting that the scandal monger is from our tribe. And he says that you will never be able to behead him. And then almost a fight is ensued. They almost begin to fight with one another, and Rasul calms them down. Can you imagine what is happening? The beloved wife of Rasulullah sallam, she is accused. And this is a great slander. Allah talks about it as ifk. It is a buhtan. It is a slander. Nabi Karim Sam is pareshan. No wahi has come down. Over 1 month, so almost a month has elapsed. Sahaba are worried. And those who have circulated this rumor, the munafiqeen, they are very happy. There were a few believers, few sahaba, who also got caught up in this rumor, in this scandal. Among them was Hamna bint Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anha, the sister of Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sister-in-law of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu, the great poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan bin Thabit, what a great sahabi. Nabi Karim actually got a minbar built for him in the masjid to render those poetry and couplets against the mushrikeen in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan bin Thabit, he also got involved. And Mistah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's house and tells Sayyidina Aisha, "Listen, O Aisha, if you have done wrong, all you need to do is just confess, make tawbah and istighfar, and Allah will forgive you." She looks at her father. "Oh my father," you reply. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu does not utter a word. He is the closest friend of Rasulullah sallam. He is Siddiq. She looks at her mother also remains silent. I cannot say anything. Sayyidina Aisha had been crying. Her tears had been dried up. She tells, "Ya Rasulullah sallam, if I had to confess, whereas I know I'm absolutely innocent, just to make you all happy, and I confess, then you would believe me. You would accept that, yes, I did it. But Allah knows I'm absolutely innocent." And she leaves that gathering. She goes up to her room and she cries and cries and cries. And she just hopes that Allah will show Nabi Karim some dream to prove her innocence. She says, Wallah, I hardly even had gone up when suddenly Rasulullah was sitting there and he became, wahi started coming down to him. And when wahi would come to Rasulullah, he would begin to perspire profusely. There was a certain kayfiyat that would overwhelm Rasulullah. And his eyes would close and he would drop his head down, and until wahi would come down, he would perspire profusely. And the moment the kayfiyat finished, he picks up his head and he smiles. Oh Aisha, abshiri, glad tidings for you. Allah has exonerated you. Immediately, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, Aisha, thank Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Praise him and thank him. She says, no, I will thank my Allah. My Allah has proved my innocence. I didn't even believe that Allah will send down wahi. Almost 10 verses of Surah Nur. The very first verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِنْكُمْ. Verses came down to show the bara'at of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Mufassirin write, they say, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was also accused by Zulaykha of having interfered with her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know the whole surah and surah Yusuf. Allah made a little child that was in the cradle bear witness that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was innocent. For Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, to prove his innocence, Allah used a sabi. Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, no man had touched her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her give birth to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. People began to accuse her. She says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prove her innocence, Allah used that child who was a Nabi, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, qala inni abdullah. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah used a sabi, a child, to prove his innocence. For Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah used a Nabi to prove innocence. But when he came to Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, Allah did not use a Sabi. Allah did not use a Nabi. Allah himself exonerated her. And Allah said, you are absolutely free and clean and innocent. And therefore, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. This was a group of people who began the slander against Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Allah says, لَا تَحْسَبُهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. Don't deem it to be evil for you. In fact, it is good for you. Why? Because the innocence of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha till the day of Qiyamah will be proclaimed in the Quran. Every believer who reads it, he will praise Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. Unfortunately, the Shias who curse Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and there are a group of Shias who accuse her of even poisoning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'adallah. They revile her, they hate her. What will they do when they read these verses in praise of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala? And they will use taqiyah and lies. And see, we don't talk bad about Sayyidina Aisha, but there is enough information, glaring information, and the books are replete with all these lies of this, talking ill about the beloved Sahaba of Rasulullah. Therefore, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we love every single Sahabi of Rasulullah. Every single one was a shining star. And we never revile any one of them. A true believer will love the Sahaba. A munafiq will hate the Sahaba. So Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, she was the beloved wife of Rasulullah. Allah ta'ala then explains that this is a very serious offense. And those who got involved, they were punished. They were lashed 80 lashes. And they made sincere tawbah, the believers. Hamna bin Dajjah radiallahu ta'ala, Mistah radiallahu ta'ala, and Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala. They made sincere tawbah and they were forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, in fact, you should respect Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala even after this incident. And he regretted what he did. And then he would mention couplets to showing again the innocence of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She never held any malice in her heart. These were Sahaba with such pure hearts. Imagine somebody accuses your daughter who was innocent. And then even if he confesses his mistake and he asks for forgiveness, but lifelong you'll have it in your heart. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala became very upset with Mistah, who was his relative. And Mistah was a poor Sahabi. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to help him out for his monthly expenditure and give him an allowance. Always helping him out. When this incident took place, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu took an oath took an iqasam that now I'm not going to help Mista anymore. Immediately Allah Ta'ala then sent down the verses, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُ الْفَضِّ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَن يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. That those who are people of virtue and honor, أُولُو الْفَضِّ, Ya Allah is praising who? Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى. That he is part of أُولُو الْفَضِّ. And Allah has given him plentiful. He says, you should not take a qasam that you will not give your relative. Two words have been you. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and forgive from the bottom of your heart, completely forgive. أَلَّا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Now this is a message for all of us. Somebody does something wrong, they ask for maaf, then we should make the person maaf. أَلَّا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you wish that Allah must forgive you for your errors? When Allah is Ghafur Rahim. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then immediately he realizes and he doubles the amount. And he gives Mista even more. There's so many other aspects related to this incident and the details. But the important point is for us to exercise complete control of our tongues. In the month of Ramadan, ghibat, carrying tales, having suspicion, backbiting, quarreling, swearing, using vulgar language, indecent language, lewd, immoral, all these things spoil our roza. That is why Rasulullah said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الظَّمَأَ. That so many, a fasting person gets nothing. إِلَّا الظَّمَأُ وَجُوعُ كُمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. He gets nothing besides hunger and thirst. Why? He spoiled his roza by not exercising complete control. أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. This is the word of Rasulullah. Nabiya Kareem says, hold, have complete control over your tongue. And this is the training period, the month of Ramadan. Whilst we are fasting, talk less to everybody. Have complete control of your tongue, and then we will see. We will not be making ghibat of any person. The moment somebody makes ghibat, we move away. But I don't want to spoil my fast. The hadith says, if somebody begins to quarrel with you while you're fasting, you must tell him, فَإِنْ صَابَهُ أَحَدْ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. I'm fasting. In other words, you're reminding him also he's fasting. Don't taint and blemish our fast by not controlling our tongues. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was extremely intelligent. The amount of faqahat Allah had bestowed upon her, that great sahaba, after the demise of Rasulullah, great sahaba would go to her, knock on her door, and behind the hijab, behind the parda, they would ask her questions relating to her life in the house, which they required to know different masail. And they did not know the answers to those questions. And Sayyidina Aisha knew because she was the wife of Rasulullah. And she would give them the solution and answers based on her knowledge from Rasulullah. 2,210 ahadith she narrated. One of the highest from all the sahaba. 2,210 ahadith she narrated from Rasulullah. Her fiqh, her hadith, her acumen, her knowledge was very, very deep and profound. Nabiya Kareem some loved her dearly. He loved all his wives. But from the books of Shira, we see that Sayyidina Aisha was one of his favorites. And Sahaba realized this. You know, towards the end of the life of Rasulullah, in the last few days, he would ask, whose turn is it today? Whose turn is it today? Which wife's house will I be going? And they would say, this house, this wife's house. He would wait for, to hear the name Aisha. Sauda radiallahu anha, the co-wife of Sayyidina Aisha. In other words, other wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She realizes, so she gave her day to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, to make Nabi sallam happy. Sahaba would give gifts to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was in the house of Aisha, when it was her turn. Because they knew he is very happy on that day. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, some of the other wives, they felt it a bit. So, she became the spokeswoman and she confronts Rasulullah. They tell the Sahaba to give gifts in our days also. Why only in Sayyidina Aisha's day? Nabi Kareem says, Ya Umma Salama, la tu'zini fi Aisha. Oh Umma Salama, don't give me taklif, don't hurt me regarding my Aisha. This is Allah's qasam that there is none of you wives in whose company I am. And wahi comes down to me besides Aisha radiallahu anha. We are covered in one sheet. One sheet, one quilt. And Allah sends down wahi only when I am with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. And therefore she would boast to the other wives. She would boast to them. And she would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. In some riwayat of God fil manam in the dream. That Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with a green silk cloth with the image of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he tells Rasulullah sallam, this is going to be a wife in dunya and in Jannat. And there was the image of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then from all the wives, she was the only wife of Rasulullah sallam who was a virgin. And she had no children. Then she passed away. Before Rasulullah passed away, her brother Abdul Rahman entered, he was making miswak, and Nabi Akram looked at him, and he indicated that he wished to make miswak. So Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu takes the miswak, and she begins to chew it, soften it, with her own mouth, her own saliva, and then she places it in the mouth of Rasulullah. She would boast that my saliva went into the saliva of Rasulullah just before he left this world. And he passed away, on her chest or on her lap, in her house. So she was the last person. And in her hands, Rasulullah leaves this world. And he is buried in her house. When we go to the Rosa Mubarak, it's the house of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. And then she would say, that no wahi came down to any other wives but myself, whilst I was under one sheet with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she would say, Allah exonerated me. From the heavens Allah sent down wahi to show my innocence. And she would say that my father was the most beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the men. Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, a sahabi, once posed this question to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbun nas ilayk? From all the people, who is most beloved to you? He said, Aisha. Thumma man? Then who? He says, Abuha. Her father Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So she's known as Siddiqah bintu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Her father was the first Khalif of Islam, the bosom friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Rasulullah said that if Allah did not take me as his Khalil, Abu Bakr, I would have taken you as my Khalil. So she would boast these points to the other wives. Allah ta'ala had chosen these women to become Azwaji Mutahharat, the pure wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ummahatul mu'minin, the mothers of the believers. May Allah ta'ala fill the qabr with noor. When she passed away, then imagine, you know who performed her janaza salat? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. He performed her janaza salat. She was extremely generous. If you look at the kitabs, it is mind-boggling. Any person sitting here, if you've got 70,000 rands now, and if some beggar comes, he must have that type of courage to give that one person 70,000 gold coins. She received 70,000 dirhams or silver coins, 70,000 dirhams. And she gave every single coin out to the poor. There were times when she is fasting and a beggar comes. So the servant looks around and finds nothing but one date just for the iftar of her, of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Aisha says, "What? Why aren't you giving the beggar anything?" She says, "I've only got one date for your iftar." She says, "Give that date also, give it away." What do we do? Our pockets are full with kajur. And we got boxes at home. One date. There was once a woman who came with the two daughters or two sons. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu gives them three dates. One for the mother and one for the two children each. So the two children put their dates in their mouth and they chew it up. They were extremely hungry. They look at the mother breaks it into half, and she gives each one. This caused Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu to cry. When Rasulullah came back that night, or came home, then she immediately told him about what she had seen. All the time, generous. She was so generous, as the incident in the Hadith Kitab. Her sister Asma, bint Abi Bakr radiallahu, also very generous. And Asma's son was Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu. Abdullah is the nephew of Sayyidina Aisha now. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is her khala, sister's son. Khala is like your mother. Therefore, in the books of hadith, you find an ummil mu'mineen, ummi Abdullah, Aisha, ummi Abdullah. Aisha had no children. But the mother of Abdullah, meaning her nephew, referring to her nephew, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala saw that his auntie is too generous. Whatever comes, Sayyidina Muawiyah and send some money for her, everything is given out in charity. She keeps nothing for herself. So one day he got a bit upset and he says that she must stop this. She must keep something for herself. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala heard this, she says, I will never speak to him rest of my life. Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala became worried now. He goes to her, she's very upset with him. She does not want to talk to him. So he makes a little plan. He takes two other sahaba. And they pretend that now they need to ask her some question. So they go to the house. Of course, it's hijab. She cannot see them. So they make salam, wa alaikum salam. We have got some question. May we enter, come inside? She says, yes. So they say, all of us? She doesn't know who's there exactly. Yes, come in. She's behind a curtain. Abdullah bin Zubayr is a mahram, remember, her nephew, sister's son. These two sahaba, they are standing there and Abdullah bin Zubayr goes from behind the curtain and he grabs Sayyidina Aisha. She gets a shock and she sees Abdullah bin Zubayr, her mahram, her nephew. And immediately she becomes upset that it's you. He says, I beg you for the sake of Allah. I made a mistake. I will never see such a thing. Please forgive me. She forgave him. And then, because she had taken a promise, she gave her kafara for breaking a promise, and she gave so much of money out, and lifelong she regretted why she had taken such an oath. Their lives were pure. Their hearts were clean, their hearts were pure. Believe me, I wish we knew more about the sahaba. And when ayats are revealed regarding the innocence of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, a true believer, when he hears this, the sahaba's name, his hands, his hair on his body stands on end. His heart brims with love for the sahaba. Alas, we have these people who are miscreants, causing so much of problem and chaos in the entire world. Go into the internet and you see only their filth. We should be proud of our deen. We should love the sahaba. But we ourselves don't read about the sahaba. How are we going to love the sahaba? If I ask any person now, besides those who have really read about him, how many ahadith Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu by heart, who narrate? What can you tell me about Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala? If I ask, who knows the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 sahaba in one gathering, guaranteed Jannah? We all forget, but we don't have the zawq and shawq. We're living in such time that people are reviling the sahaba. How are we going to stand before Nabi Akrim and the sahaba on the day of Qiyamah? But any other aspect when it comes to sports, we know every soccer player, and every cricket player, we know every type of car in the market, and every type of what's happening in the stock exchange, and the rand, dollar, that's all we are concentrating on. Allah forgive us. It is time that we open our eyes. Did Nabi Karim say for no reason that these are shining stars? Anyone you follow, you'll be guided? Love the Sahaba, love the Sahaba. Books, Hayatul Sahaba translated into English, we've got no excuse. Hazrat Shaykh Ramadan Fazail Amal is such a maqbool kitab. I don't want to say because I'm a big sinner, wallahi al-azim. But now, maybe last week in Madina Munawwara, now please, people start circulating, Mutala saw a dream, and so now, you know, I'm just explaining to you that I saw a dream in which Hazrat Shaykh Fazail Amal was in front of me in a very used copy, and I was mentioning some stories from there. And an alim was standing there, and he agreed, he said, yes, Hazrat has written ajeeb kitab. Such a maqbool kitab, we have it. Our brother said every day, ta'alim. But we have no tawfiq. If you don't sit with them, okay, at least at home, open this kitab and read about sahaba. I take qasam in Allah. You will begin to love the sahaba. When you go to Madina Munawwara, you'll only think that you are with the sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. You'll enjoy your umrah, you'll enjoy your ziyarat of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Will enjoy your stay in Madina Munawwara. You see different areas, different sahaba will come to mind. May Allah Ta'ala give us the true muhabbat of sahaba, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, every single sahabi. Every single sahabi. We don't just pick a few sahaba and revive the rest. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah guide us. We're not here to stir up any conflict or any problems, no. Believe me. We're here to unite the ummah. Unite the ummah on the basis of Quran, hadith and haqq. May Allah grant us hidayat. May Allah keep us on sirat al-mustaqeem. At least we should make dua for the sahaba. And Allah must elevate this status. Perhaps on the day of Qiyamah, because of the little love we had for sahaba. Maybe some sahabi may just intercede on our behalf. Or Nabiya Kareem, someone will get happy with us that at least you spoke good about my sahaba. And that could be our means of najat. Otherwise, we have no good a'mal to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.